VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And today on Crosstalk, a special treat for you. In October 2021, we were pleased to have Pastor Curtis McMiller from Heritage Baptist Church in Kenosha speak at the Father-Son Retreat at Trail Ridge Camp in Hillsboro, Wisconsin. His opening message was powerful, and today is a special challenge. We're presenting this on Crosstalk as he challenged the men in attendance. What hill are you willing to die on?
And I want you to take your Bible, and we're going to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, I understand that the theme is to carry the torch. Men, you'll have to agree with me. We are living in some very challenging times. In my lifetime, I am 59 years old. I've seen so much change, not for the better, but for the worse these last couple of years. And it seems to me like there's a move to really downplay manhood. And our boys, they need to see a father that is standing for Christ. They need that. And because after all, it's your responsibility to pass the torch to them. What I want to speak to you on, I want you to look with me at 2 Samuel chapter number 23. Look at verse number 11 and verse number 12. Now, the Bible says these words in verse number 11. The Bible says, and after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground filled with lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory, a great victory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this special, special occasion. And Lord, you know, God, as we look at our country, as we look at our churches, as we look at our homes, as we look at our nation, God, it seems awful hard to be prepared to pass the torch to the next generation of young people. God, these that are here tonight, these men, Lord, they have the potential to set the tone, God, for the torch to be passed on to their children in a way that would cause their children to say that the reason why I'm standing in my generation is because my dad stood in his. So God, help me, Lord, somehow, some way to convey this message across to these men tonight. And Lord, challenge us from your word. We need you, Lord, more than ever. Our country needs you. Lord, we ask that you'd move among the people, among this group of men and young people. Speak tonight. May Christ be exalted in all that is said and done over the next few minutes. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you're familiar with this particular text, you'll know that David is not long for heaven. And in chapter 23, David is more or less recounting the various opportunities he had to witness the men that were considered to be his mighty men. And he's sort of kind of reminiscing over the great victories that were wrought by these men. And as David reflects on the past, he brings up this individual, Shema, and the Bible makes it plain, makes it clear. If you know anything about this man, let me just say something real quickly. Three things. Number one, this man was not a preacher. Number two, this man was not an evangelist. But then number three, this man was a man who put to a good cause the things that he learned from David. David was an excellent teacher. And one of the beauties of David was that David knew how to train men for battle. Here, as Shemaiah, along with another band of men, and if you read the rest of this chapter, we get to look at some of the history involving these men and the great challenges that they they were able to stand up against. We understand that these men were men that came to David when they were distressed, when they were discouraged, and when they were discontented. And yet David trained them to become something great for God. Now let me just say this to you tonight, and this is very, very needful for the boys that are here right now. Let me say this to you boys. Every preaching service that you get opportunity to sit in on is designed to help you to become something great for God. Amen. Every Sunday school class that you sit in is designed to help you to become something great for God. Every Sunday night service, every midweek service, every campground meeting is designed to help you to become something great for God. Because within you is the potential to become something great for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, David, as I indicated, he's mesmerized by this particular man, in so much that the Bible, of course, would recount the events involving Shemaiah. What was so special about this event? What is it that really captured David's attention? Well, I want you to look there at verse number 11 again. And the Bible says, and after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And then the Bible says, and the Philistines went and gathered together into a troop where, now notice this, a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. What are lentils? They're beans. But we understand, if you know the history, beans were somewhat a source of food for God's people. And yet this man was willing to put his life on the line for a bowl of beans, for a hill of beans. Amen? Now, the truth is, when we think of beans, we look at, and we think from the standpoint of a hill of beans, we look at it from a negative angle. We say, for example, this person isn't worth a hill of beans. Amen? Or we say things like, well, this person here, you know, they're just not good for anything concerning beans. But the truth is, this man thought it was so important to guard this land or this piece of ground for a reason. Now, let me just say this to you. Shema thought that the beans were so important that he had to do something about it. He put himself in a situation where it was a do or die opportunity. And beloved, can I say this to you tonight? That if we think of it from the standpoint of what Shemaiah thought, he felt that, you know, I'm going to stand my ground for these beans. Now, here's the thing. If he's willing to stand his ground for a bowl of beans, if he was willing to die for a bowl of beans, let me ask you, what are you willing to die for? What are you willing to put your life on the line for? Amen. You see, the truth is, this man, he was willing to die on this hill for a bowl of beans. I want to speak to you on the subject, what hill are you willing to die on? Amen. I look at our country tonight, and I see that we have shifted from the standpoint where it seems like we have women that are stepping out in the fray while we have men sit on the sideline and they let the women have the leadership of our country. Somebody said some time ago, it seems like the best man for the job is a woman. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we need some men that would stand up like Shemaiah here and take their proper role as a man and be willing to stand and to fight for something of great value. I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter number 31. Now, just kind of to give you the context of Numbers chapter 31, it has to do with Israel defeating their enemies. And Joshua is the great leader of Israel at this time as they are put in a position to wipe out all of these different people groups that were against the God of heaven. But I want you to notice in verse number 7 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, and there and they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. Now note verse number 8. The Bible says, and they slew the kings of Midian besides the rest of them that were slain, namely, and it says Eva, and it says Rechem, and Zor, and Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. But then you see an individual's name here that we might know. His name is Balaam. The Bible says, and Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Now, the point of interest here is that the Bible says that Israel, they were put in a position to wipe out the enemies of God. And we read about this man, Balaam, being included in the people that were wiped out. And so we have to conclude that, wait a minute, who was this Balaam? Balaam obviously at one time was a man who was in close connection with God. If you know anything concerning the history of Balaam, he was the one that would pray and would get results from God. So at one time he had a close communication with God. At one time Balaam had confidence in God. At one time Balaam had close communication with God. But we see here Balaam now being destroyed by the armies of Israel. And why is that? It was because he decided to run with the ungodly. So when we look at Balaam, we see how Balaam died on the hill of the ungodly. Let me ask you tonight, what hill are you willing to die on? Are you willing to die on God's side, or are you willing to die on the hill with the ungodly? When we read the Bible, we read about a man by the name of Lot. And the Bible tells us the history there and how Lot was one given over to worldliness and one that primarily forsook the things of God. And Lot died on the hill of compromise. He lost everything that he had, Genesis chapter 19. We read about Absalom. Absalom was the son of David. And we understand that Absalom died on the hill of mutiny and conspiracy when he sought to take the life of his own daddy. We read about another fellow by the name of Judas Iscariot. And we know that Judas died on the hill of betrayal and the hill of greed because he sought after the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turned to men for 30 pieces of silver. Let me ask you, Dad, what hill are you willing to die on tonight? What hill are you willing to give your life for the cause of Christ on tonight? Well, let me just give you real quickly what hill that I am willing to die on. We are being programmed to, when we hear certain words like death, like fight, like standing, we're being programmed to say, oh, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to talk about that. Can I say this to you? When you think of David's mighty men, they knew about that far too much. Amen. And America right now is weighed in the balances of life and found wanting. And what God is looking for is for some men to get a backbone and move back into the battle and get busy for the Lord. It's time for God's men to wake up and do something for God again. Amen.
Pastor Curtis McMiller, a special we're airing on Crosstalk today, a message to dads and their sons. What hill are you willing to die on? More of the message after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, before the fall of man, did animals suffer?
Chris, the Bible says at the end of creation week, things were very good. Things would live forever, with no pain or death. With Adam's sin came the wages of sin. But evolutionists believe that animals lived and died long ago. In fact, the dinosaurs went extinct before man even got here. And yet some of them lived with great pain. A recent discovery of a T-Rex fossil shows this. This dinosaur was quite old when it died. Earlier, it had suffered a broken leg and broken ribs, which had healed. It lived in terrible pain. Now, I don't think that this pain is the result of creation. It's the result of sin. It's certainly not very good, as God pronounced his completed creation back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We've got a special Crosstalk program here today, October 2021. Pastor Curtis McMiller from Heritage Baptist Church in Kenosha spoke at the Father-Son Retreat at Trail Ridge Camp in Hillsboro, Wisconsin. It was a joy to have him there. His message, what hill are you going to die on? Willing to die on, I should say. We're going to continue with that message right now.
Let me give you three hills I don't want to be found dying on first and foremost. Number one, I don't want to be found dying on the hill of compromise. On the hill of compromise. I want you to turn in your Bible real quickly with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2. Now, if you know anything about the book of Galatians, you'll know that this is one of those books where the people were quick to give place to traditions and customs and more or less moving away from the grace of God back to works and those things. But in Galatians chapter 2, Peter was confronted by the Apostle Paul. And Peter sought to more or less kind of change his position on the gospel. And I want you to look at it with me, if you will, because Paul had to challenge Peter to get things right again. Note with me, Galatians chapter 2, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to blame. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And other Jews dissembled likewise with him because of Peter's actions and because he wanted to, when he was with the Gentiles, he was fine. But when the Jewish people came in, he quickly went on their side, in so much that other believers started to go on the other side with the Jews as well. Verse 13, it says, likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And then we see in verse 16, Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We see here that the apostle Paul was quick to confront one that sought to compromise this thing concerning the gospel. I don't know about you, but when you understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, it changes your want to. It changes your want to. When I got saved, I gave my heart. I've been a Christian for over 31 plus years. I've been on this side of the cross. I'm here to tell you, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, he changed my want to. Before, I wanted to do this. I wanted to go there. I wanted to say this. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, it no longer was about what I wanted. It was about what he wanted. And all I'm simply saying to you tonight, God is looking for some men that will not give place to compromise. We've watered down the message of the gospel to accommodate people and to make them feel good and to make them feel as if, hey, if you join our church and you compromise the word of God, you do away with the Bible and you do away with the old hymns, then man, we'll have a good time. Can I say that's a part of the devil's plan? We need good old-fashioned hymns. We need to get back to the word of God. When you have people that come to you and say, let's do away with the word of God, let's bring in some sort of brand new theology, and some, you say, away with such foolishness. Let's get back to the word of God. We need to understand that there is pressure to compromise the word of God. These new churches that are popping up like flapjacks, You go inside of them, they embrace some of, they embrace homosexuality, they embrace lesbianism, they embrace globalism, they embrace the BLM movement, they embrace critical. Can I say, that's not God's church. God is not in any of that. We need to be on the lookout. I don't plan on dying on the hill of compromise. Number two, I don't plan on dying on the hill with the critics. The hill with the critics. I want you to turn, well, for sake of time, but maybe you can turn there. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter number 3. The statement is made here by Peter, who obviously knew that the time would come when men would not endure sound doctrine, but would heap unto themselves, as Timothy said, teachers having itching ears. But Peter says in 2 Peter chapter number 3, note with me verse number 3 and 4. Look at the words of Peter. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Now notice the statement. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. Peter said that people, that the time would come when people would say, well, you know, things have always been like this. What we are experiencing today has always been this way. Can I tell you the truth? No, it hasn't always been this way. Amen. And if you've been around as long as I have, you know that is so. Listen, same-sex marriage was not allowed in the beginning. Amen. God didn't allow that. And God, by the way, God still hasn't changed his mind about that. Amen. You see, things have not been the same. Animal rights was not always allowed in the beginning. Some people say, well, you know, we need to take care of the spotted owl. We need to take care of the eagles. We need to take care of the cows. We're anti-meat. And I say this, you know, people, they call them PETA, right? You know what PETA stands for? It stands for people eating tasty animals. Amen. I like that right there. Amen. People eating tasty animals. But can I say, in the beginning, it was not so. The Bible tells us that God created these things for us. God made these things. Globalist one world government types were not allowed in the beginning. How do we know that? Because they tried it in Genesis chapter 11 when they tried to build a tower that would reach all the way to heaven, and God had to show up and God had to show out, and before you knew it, they all went in different directions. Hey, can I say they're trying to repeat that today? Amen. Amen. These globalists, we don't know how much longer it's going to be before we have maintained the freedoms that we have in America. Can I say this to you? America is the last refuge for freedom. And we as Christian, as men, we need to boldly stand up and say that I'm for the red, white, and blue. I'm for America. I'm for this country. I'm for this nation. She has been good to me. She has given me opportunity that no other country in the world would have ever been able to give me. You're looking at somebody that loves this country. Amen. We need to understand that there are critics out there, and they try to get us to blend in and criticize the same things. Well, I was preaching at a church in Indianapolis about 2 weeks ago, or last week, and I was with some preachers, and there's this one black preacher, and he says to me, I hate Donald Trump. I said, I don't. Just like that, I don't. He said, well, what do you mean you don't? I said, sir, let me ask you, why do you hate Donald Trump? He said, well, because he's mean. I said, sir, our country's going to hell right now. H-E-double-L. And a lot of it is due to the policies that are written by people that are anti-God, anti-Christ. They don't want to have anything to do with God. And I said, and so you get so far removed from a man because he's mean. I said, but let me tell you, under the Trump administration, there were jobs galore. Under the Trump administration, the unemployment rate for the black community was at an all-time low. For the Hispanic community was at an all-time low. And by the way, you felt proud saying that I am for America. Let's make America great again. And you felt proud saying that Jesus Christ is still on the throne. This is still a country that still has some reverence for the things of God. All I'm simply saying to you tonight, don't listen to the critics. You listen to the word of God. It will never fail you. One of the biggest problems in our country, one of the biggest problems, it's so true. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That is so true. We start to blend in and want to compromise and want to listen to the critics because we're not in the Word of God. The Bible makes it perfectly clear. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall I make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. All I'm simply saying, we need to get back to the Word of God. You won't find me giving my life or dying on the hill of the critics, on the hill of the compromise, and you surely won't find me dying for this particular group of people, the critical race theorist people. I believe that this particular group of people, I believe that they have been instrumental in causing our country to be divided, moving it further and further and further apart. You see, Satan knows that when a nation is divided, they become easy prey for the devil's game and the devil's goals. Amen. Critical race theory. Listen, America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. And yet we have people who have attempted to masquerade the failures. Now listen, don't get mad at what I'm getting ready to say, some of you. But we have people that have decided to masquerade the failures in the black community and then want to blame the white man for their failures. Can I say this to you? The last time I checked, we've had the first black president. We've had the first black vice president. We've had black governors, black lawyers, black sports. Someone called in the other day. Brother Jim was there on Crosstalk. And this young fella said, as we were doing our program, he said, well, I believe that there's systemic racism. And I said, sir, well, try explaining that to LeBron James. Try explaining that to Michael Jordan. Try explaining that to Shaquille O'Neal with his, I don't know what he did, some, I want to say Geico commercial, but he does some, the General. How many of you seen that commercial with Shaquille O'Neal? Try explaining that to them, because I see them, I don't see systemic racism. You know what I see? I see successful people. Amen. Amen. I see people who made it in life. I see people who worked hard for what they have. And let me say this to you. This generation that says that we ought to just give everybody a handout, can I say to you, that is not what the Bible says. God says if a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. That's God's answer to the welfare program. Can I remind you of this? God has given you a mind. God has given you a body. God has given you a spirit. God has given you enough wisdom to know what it means to go out here and work for it. And by the way, God created you to work. That's part of the creation. God made us as men to want to work. Amen.
Pastor Curtis McMiller, a powerful message speaking to dads and their sons at Trail Ridge. Back in a minute.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on two CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We've got a little lengthier section here of that message. We're going to continue on. Pastor Curtis McMiller, what hill are you willing to die on?
Let me share with you the hill that I am willing to die on. The hill that I am willing to die on. I'm willing to die on the hill of faithfulness. The hill of faithfulness. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. Let me say this to you. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, you're missing the boat. You're missing out on what real, genuine, true life is all about. When you accept Jesus in your heart, he changes you. It's so true. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. When you accept Christ, he gives. It's like, you know, the glass has come off and you can see clearly now when you accept Jesus as your Savior. But here, note with me, and we want to talk about faithfulness real quick. This man, King Saul, had a son whose name was Jonathan. Oh, I like Jonathan. Tremendous young man. And by the grace of God, you might be able to pass the baton to your children. And who can tell? You may have a Jonathan for a son. Amen. Somebody like this fellow here. Note with me in chapter 14. Look at it there in verse number 6 and 7. The Bible reminds us of these words. Of course, they're put in a situation where they're getting ready to go into a battle. And the Bible says in verse number 6, it says, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of this uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord." I want to stop right there and say how true that is. There's no restraint. God is not limited by anyone. All God is looking for is for some men to step out of the fray, and men that was willing to say, "You know what, Lord, here am I, use me. Here am I, Lord, I want to be a part of your program. I don't want to just sit on the sideline and bellyache and complain. I want to get involved in the battle. What can I do for you, Jesus?" Amen. Amen. We spend more time talking about hunting, talking about fishing, talking about sports, and I'm for a lot of that, but I think sometimes our priorities are out of order. This young man, he made the statement, and boy, was he spot on. He said, "There is no restraint to the Lord." I like that. He says, "For the Lord to save by many or by few." Then in verse number 7 says, "His armor bearer said unto him," oh, I like this, "Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Can I say this to you? It's nice to know that you have somebody that's willing to stand by your side in the battle. It's nice to know that you got somebody there that's saying, "Whatever you want to do for God, I am with you." Can I say this to you? You do have somebody that's with you. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's standing by your side. He's just looking for you that's willing to say that, "Hey, I think we can take this bunch. I think that if we stand for God the way we're supposed to, if we devote our cause to the Lord Jesus Christ the way we should, I think that God can give us the victory." And yes, he can give us the victory. Amen. Why? Because there's no restraint with the Lord. Amen. I'm willing to die on the hill of faithfulness. Listen, if America is to experience revival, it will happen because some fathers are willing to be faithful fathers and willing to pass the torch to their children. That's what the need of the hour is today. That's what our need is right now. Fathers that are willing to be faithful to the things of God. Fathers who are faithful to church. Fathers who are faithful to the midweek service. Fathers who are faithful to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fathers who are faithful in standing their ground for Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus, in speaking to the church of Smyrna, said over there in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, I know thy works, thy tribulation and poverty. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee a crown of life. God is looking for some men that will be faithful unto death. Unto death. Are you willing to die for Jesus? Hey, don't tell me that you're willing to die for him when you're not willing to live for him. Amen. Amen. Well, I believe God. I want to live for him. And let me ask you, where were you during the midweek service? Where were you on Sunday night service? Where were you when it was time to give out gospel tracts? Where were you? Somebody say amen. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I didn't come here to hear. Hey, that's the reason why our nation is in its shape. It's in right now. It's because men have decided to relinquish their authority over to the devil's crowd and enjoy pleasure and entertainment for a season. And now we're waking up and I'm saying, Lord, is it too late? And God says, it's never too late. God is looking for some faithful men, some faithful men. Oh, I told this story at camp a couple of weeks ago. I want to tell it here. There was on the college campus, there was a brand new Christian. He was very timid, very scared, if you will, about standing for the Lord. And he was approached by an atheist. And the atheist said, you know what? He said, I understand you're a new Christian. He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I don't believe in God. He said, oh, he said, I believe in him. He said, oh, okay. He said, in fact, if your God is real, I'm going to give him 10 seconds to strike me dead. And so that Christian said, sir, you shouldn't tempt God like that. He said, no, I don't believe in God. And if your God is real, I'm going to give him 10 seconds to strike me dead. He says, okay. So this atheist starts to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. When he got to 8, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this football player shows up and he knocks this man off of where he was standing at. And so when this atheist woke up and he shook himself and he looked at that football player, he said, hey, why did you do that? And the football player said, God was busy, so he sent me. God was busy, so he sent me. But can I say this to you? Make no mistake about it. You're faithful to God. God will always show up. God will always show up. The question is, are you willing to be faithful to the Lord? All we need for men that are willing to pass the baton to their sons, men that are willing to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be faithful. Number two, the second hill I'm willing to die on is the hill of prayer. The hill of prayer. The Bible tells us over in James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And in verse 18 it says, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Listen, that's the type of prayer that I'm interested in. I want prayer that gets results. At our church, we have men that meet 45 minutes before our Sunday night services. By the way, if your church doesn't have a Sunday night service, I encourage you to pressure your preacher to have a Sunday night service. Amen. Amen. And by the way, if you pressure your preacher and he says yes, you better show up. Amen. Amen. Don't pressure him and say, well, preacher, we want a Sunday night service. And the preacher says, okay, we'll have one. And then you don't show up. I mean, that's not the way to do it. Amen. Amen. But we have men that show up. We have 7 men that show up 45 minutes. They show up at 5:15. I'm part of those men. I want to lead by example. And so we get together and we pray. Why? Because we want the hand of God to move in our services. Why? Because we want to see people saved. Why? Because we're concerned about our country. Why? Because we're concerned about the cause of Christ. Let me ask you, men, do you spend time in prayer? Do you spend quality time alone with the Lord in prayer on a daily basis? Do you have a certain location where you go to daily and talk to the Lord and give him your needs and your burdens and what you want to see accomplished in your life? Do you do that? Of course, if we don't, then is it any wonder why our country's in the shape that it's in? Moody once declared, Dwight Moody said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Listen, fathers, what we need to understand in our life, we should not put ourselves in a position where we're dying on the hill of foolishness, where we're dying on the hill of compromise, where we're dying on the hill of criticism, where we're dying on the hill of greed and the hill of the ungodly. But you need to purpose in your heart, if you are going to pass the right baton to your son, then you need to understand the need to make sure that you are faithful to God, that you are willing to pray to the Lord on a daily basis. And then lastly, I'm willing to die on the hill of preaching. Amen. Preaching. That's what we need. Don't talk to me. People talk to me and they say, oh, well, you really need to go and hear this man and hear him preach. And I go there and he puts you to sleep. I don't have time to go to sleep when somebody's preaching. I want to hear somebody rip high. I want to hear somebody shuck the corn. I want to hear somebody with some zeal, with some fire in their bones. I don't come to church to go to sleep. I go to church because I want God to move in my heart. I want God to convict me of my sin. I want to make sure I'm right with God. I got to stand before him one day. I got to give an account for this body that he's entrusted me with. I want to stand for Jesus. And what I'm simply saying, give me preaching. Don't give me a little ditty. Don't make me feel good. If I'm wrong with God, by the time I lead a church, I want to be right with God. Amen. Preaching. The Bible tells us this, and I don't want, you don't have to turn there, but I want to read it in closing. You remember the man Jonah. And the Bible says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. We understand that when Jonah began to preach the first time, God came to him. Jonah refused to get the message out, ran to Tarshish. And then we understand that God said, okay, I'm going to give him another opportunity. I'm going to put him in a situation where he has no recourse but to preach on my behalf. And we read in the Bible in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Listen. When Jonah went to Nineveh, Jonah did not go there to show them how to plant crops. Jonah did not go to Nineveh to show them how to build, if you will, solar panels. Jonah didn't go to Nineveh to let them know that you are some good people and God loves you and you're great in the eye. No, Jonah went there to preach the word of God and to let them know that they were wicked and that they needed a savior and that God is ready to destroy the town. Can I say this to you? God, I believe, is ready to allow America to be given over to the devil's crowd, but there is something that you and I can do to defray God's judgment from this great land that I love. We need to put ourselves in a position where we're willing to preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. We need to get back to preaching the word of God. And what you need to do when somebody preaches, you need to say, let a real preacher, let us get at it. Let's get at it. That's the only thing that's going to change this country. It's the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's not about the song. It's not about the guitars and all of that.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. I have talked about Frédéric Bastiat's book, The Law, many times over the years. And I urge all of you to go online and read it for free. You'll find it online. You can read it for free. He wrote it in 1850 when France was going through one of its many socialist revolutions. Bottom line, he says the purpose of the law is the defense of individual property, individual rights. It is individuals coming together collectively to defend individual rights. He says the law is perverted when it is used for greed and philanthropic purposes. Greed and philanthropic purposes. In other words, the government is used as an instrument to steal from one to give to another. The government becomes, and the law becomes, the exact opposite of what it is supposed to do: secure the property and freedom and liberties of others. That's exactly what's happening in America. This nation cannot continue down this path until Americans once again understand the constitutional, God-given purpose of the law: security and protection.
We're featuring a message today on Crosstalk of Pastor Curtis McMiller as he spoke at Heritage Baptist Church, speaking at Trail Ridge Camp in Hillsboro, Wisconsin at the Father-Son Retreat. What hill are you going to die on? We did have to edit this down for some broadcast time here today, but we do have it available unedited without our breaks and so forth. It is available on CD for a donation of $6 or more, or on DVD for a donation of $12 or more. It's available by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829, or at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. He also preached two more times, being talked out of your inheritance and parents. Where is the protest? Those are all available. Three messages on two DVDs for a donation of $17, vcyamerica.org. We're going to finish the message right now.
This old boy, he's a street preacher, and he's standing on the street corner. I mean, man, he's letting it rip. He gets a little crowd. They come up, they're criticizing him, but he's still preaching. Then all of a sudden, a police car pulls up, and the policeman says, "Sir, you're making a nuisance. If you don't stop, we're going to haul you away." And the people were saying, "Yeah, haul him away. Get rid of this loudmouth preacher." And the preacher just kept preaching. So they grabbed him and they put him in the back seat of the police car. He took him down to the police station. And he called his lawyer, and his lawyer came, and they got him out. And so they put him back in the police car. And the police officer said, "Well, where do you want us to take you to?" And that street preacher said, "I want you to take me back where you picked me up at." He said, "Oh," they said, "okay." And the crowd was still there. So he comes back there, and they let him out, and he stands in that same spot. And this is what he said. He says, "Now, as I was saying, you're still going to go to hell if you don't get born again. Amen. All I'm simply trying to let you know, we got to get back to preaching. We got to get back to this old blessed book. I'm serious. We're losing the battle. You want to pass the baton on to your children? They need to see a father that's willing to be faithful to the things of God. They need to see a father that's willing to pray. They need to see a father that's willing to preach the gospel. You don't have to stand in a pulpit to preach. You can give out a gospel tract. You can tell somebody about God's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." And that's what the gospel does. It opens your eyes up to the truth. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Listen, with every head bowed and every eyeball closed. I don't know if you heard me say it in the message. July the 22nd, 1989, is when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I was 27 years old. Had someone shared the gospel with me when I was younger in a way that I could understand it, more than likely I would have given my heart to Christ early on. But it took me 27 years to realize that I was a sinner. I was lost on my way to hell. But glory be to God that there was a preacher that was willing to open up the Word of God and show me from the Bible how I can settle the score with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight, and this goes out to even some of you boys that are here. Jesus loves you. He wants you in His family. He loved you so much that he was willing to die for you. I don't know what greater love anyone could show than a man laid down his life, not only for his friend, but for his enemies. And that's what Jesus did. How many of you say, preacher, if I were to die tonight, I know in my heart, I know that I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure of that, but I want to do something about that tonight. I want to settle the score with Jesus Christ. Is there anybody like that tonight? If that's you, would you please raise your hand? Amen. You may put them down. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? You're not sure that you would go to heaven, but you want to settle the score. Amen. Anyone? Amen. 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 I see those hands. You say, preacher, what do I need to do? This is what you need to do. I want you, those who raise their hands, I want you to listen to me closely. You need to say, number one, Lord Jesus. Listen, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've disobeyed my parents. I've lied. I've done things that I'm ashamed of. So, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I know that as a sinner, I don't deserve heaven. I know that. You don't have to convince me of that. I know I don't deserve heaven. But Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay my sin debt. You died for me, Jesus. You not only died, Jesus, but you rose from the grave, proving that you were all of who and what you said you were and what you would do. Now, Jesus, please come into my heart. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I trust you and you alone to get me to heaven. Because, Jesus, honestly, I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't know how much time I have left on this side, but I want to settle the score with you right now. Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, and take me to heaven with you when I die. Now, if you pray, you may put your hands down. If you prayed that prayer, if you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I trust you as my Savior. Come into my heart and save me. Save me now. And if that's you, then by the grace of God, you'll say, now, Jesus, help me to live for you and be a good Christian. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the message we heard tonight. God, here is a man that was willing to lay down his life for a bowl of chili, for a hill of beans. And yet, Lord, we live in a day, God, where we might be put to the same test, where we may have to lay down our lives too. But Lord, if that day should come, may we lay it down for the right reasons. May we be willing to die on the hill of faithfulness, on the hill of prayer, and on the hill of preaching. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I trust your heart has been stirred by this message here today on Crosstalk. What hill are you willing to die on? Pastor Curtis McMiller from Heritage Baptist Church. CDs, DVDs available of this. You can call 800-729-9829. Also available for free viewing at vcy.tv. vcy.tv, you'll find it there. Folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.